We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Buffs Insider, a weekly podcast here at CUBuffs.com with Neil Welk at CUBuffs.com. My voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Buffs football team 2-0, coming off a 33-28 victory at Nebraska last week. 33-28 victory at Nebraska. Go ahead and bask in that for a moment.
I just like hearing that. You know, that was fine. People ask me how Nebraska was, and I always enjoy going to a game there. I've covered a lot of games there over the years, always enjoy going there. Coming home after a win is always a little more fun.
Well, let me tell you this, though, because I didn't fly with you guys. I drove back. The drive back was not any more fun after a victory. It still was not a good drive.
Yeah, but, you know, and this is a mean thing to say, but then it's in the rearview mirror. You know, when you cross that state line, you know, it all of a sudden gets better.
And it was dark as well, so I guess I had that going for me. We learned something about this football team, I think. You could look at the stat page and say, you know what, they were outplayed in some respects. They did force some turnovers, which is very good. Did not turn the ball over. But we learned about, you know, what we didn't know about the physical aspect, the talent aspect, and all those things. We certainly learned something about the heart aspect of this team, I think, in that game.
Yeah, this team showed some resiliency, and that's what you never know until you see it happen. You can talk about great heart, great attitude, the ability to come back from a deficit, face adversity, all those things. But until you see a team deal with that, you don't know how they're going to react. We saw it. We saw it, a team that got behind 21-14, the team that was behind 28-20, a team that missed a couple field goals in the fourth quarter that would have given them the lead. And the attitude on the sidelines never changed. It was, we'll get the ball back and we're going to score. And I think that was a huge, huge step for this team, the fact that they were able to get that win in that environment against a team that, that's a nationally known team. And so that is a big step for this team. And I'm not saying it's going to be the defining moment of this season, but if this season turns out like it has the potential, it will be the moment that started it all, I think.
You know, I think I always think of that old Mike Tyson line where he says, everyone's got a game plan until they get punched in the nose. Mm-hmm. And then we find out what you're really about. This could be, to your point, this could be 2018's Oregon win, if you will, for this team.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, you hate to keep drawing comparisons to that season, but that's exactly what it was. That was a win where Colorado went on the road, had to come from behind, get a win, and adversity right down to the very end, and this was exactly the same thing. So, this is a game that I think all those guys out there feel really good about. The best part is they hit the practice field this week and there's nobody patting themselves on the back. I think they're really excited about continuing to play.
Neil, the one thing that's kind of fun so far through a couple of ball games, you and I have sat here on the podcast in weeks past during training camp and said, I think I see this, I think I see that. We don't know until the bullets get flying, obviously. And what we've seen so far through 2 weeks from Steven Montez has been a maturing quarterback.
Yes, yes. I mean, Steven is making plays. He's got 7 touchdown passes, 1 interception. He's throwing the ball well. He's got a great completion rate. He's not making mistakes. He's taking sacks when he needs to take sacks. He's just doing a lot of the little things that make a difference between playing quarterback and knowing the position. And so I really like the way Steven has played. It's been a great proof of what we've seen.
As you can tell, we're taping right by practice. That's why all the machinery is working around us right now. It's not that Neil and I are actually working hard. We don't do that. I talk, he writes. That's all we do. With that being said, that throw to Laviska Shenault for the game winner with 106 left in that ballgame. Everyone's talking about Laviska because it was a great catch, and he's been phenomenal. Leads the nation in receptions per game and your yards receiving per ball game. I don't think that throw is getting enough credit because that was one heck of a throw. And what he did just to make the safety hesitate and keep that thing open was really fantastic.
That entire play was a perfectly executed play by Steven Montez. If you look, number one, you're right. He looked that safety off just enough. He looked the safety off. The safety was playing close to that side. I was cheating over into that zone. Steven looked him off. He took 2 steps the other way, and that was just enough time for Steven to get the ball in the air. There was no other place Steven could throw that Laviska can make that catch. Cornerback had decent coverage, but Laviska had a step on him. If Steven throws it too far, it goes out of bounds. If he throws it too short, the cornerback knocks it down. It was a perfect throw, put it right where only Laviska could get to it, and the safety was about 3 steps late getting there. And so it was if you look at Steven, some of the plays he made a year ago compared to this one, that's the difference in 2017 and 2018.
You know, between the big three, and it's, I know we're only 2 games in, but I'm already calling the big three. Between Steven Montez, Laviska Shenault, Nate Landman continues to get national recognition, had his 2nd interception for as many games. And again, I am sitting next to the president of the Nate Landman fan club, by the way. But with that being said, you know what kind of got lost in the shuffle here from that Nebraska win? And, you know, everyone got caught up in the hoopla of it. Jay McIntyre had a heck of a ball game and nearly got killed, by the way, in the middle of that game. Late night ball game, I should say.
Jay McIntyre is one of those guys that everybody, you know, we talk about all the great receivers and Colorado has a bunch of them. I mean, Laviska Shenault is as good as Colorado's had in 20 years. KD Nixon has speed. Juwan Winfrey had some great clutch catches in that game. Yeah. But Jay McIntyre, when they didn't cover him, all Steven had to do was start going to Jay, and they kind of knew that they would probably get a lot of one-on-one with Jay. They floated him out there in the flats, 8 catches, 45 yards, 2 touchdowns, just had a heck of a game, and that's another thing that this team has is just that's another weapon that when they need to find a way to utilize it, they will.
I'll say this, and I'll walk a very fine line here. There's a lot of noise coming out of Nebraska right now for various reasons. What isn't being talked about a great deal overall about this ball game is that Nebraska did not handle itself very well. Clock management down the stretch. They continued with the press coverage, which ultimately allowed Laviska Shenault to score that late touchdown. The Buffs took advantage of some of their misdeeds or missteps, if you will, down the stretch in that game.
Yeah, you know, and you know, Scott Frost is only in his 3rd year as a head coach, and I think Scott Frost is going to turn out to be a very, very good head coach. He's already proven what he can do when he was down at UCF, but there were some mistakes made down the stretch there. You mentioned at clock management. Their 2nd-to-last possession, they were snapping the ball with, you know, 20 seconds still showing on the play clock when they could have run down the clock to, you know, given the Colorado the ball back with a minute instead of 2:23. There were, you know, penalty on Jay McIntyre that when the kid hit Jay McIntyre late, you know, just another example of, you know, maybe not the most well-disciplined team going down the stretch. So I think Scott Frost is going to be a good head coach, but there were some mistakes made, and I thought Mike McIntyre and his staff coached a very good game. I mean, I think they did a very good game of exploiting weaknesses where they found it. And as you said, Nebraska kept playing that press coverage, wanted to bring 6 or 7 guys, and sooner or later somebody's going to throw up top on you when you do that.
You know who else is emerging that maybe we're not talking enough about? That's Mustafa Johnson. And I think it's that good Johnson heritage that he has that is the key to his explosiveness. He's really starting to flash in that defensive front.
I tell you what, he's an active defensive lineman. I mean, usually your defensive lineman, and he's a big, strong kid, But he's really active. He's got quick feet. I think one of the coaches said that, you know, for a defensive lineman, he's got quick twitch muscles. You know, and you don't see that a lot from a big guy like
that. That's an oxymoron, I think.
You don't see that. But, you know, he has a fumble recovery that led to a touchdown. He had a tip pass that led to an interception that led to a touchdown in the first game. He's got, I think he's got 2-3 quarterback sacks this year. He's had tackles for losses. He's really emerging as a guy that's a leader on that defensive line. And the best thing is he's just a sophomore.
Yeah. He's going to be around a while, as is Israel Antoine and Terrence Lang and all these other guys. You know, isn't it funny? College football is such an interesting game, how a strength can become a question mark in the blink of an eye. Alex Kinney gets hurt. He's out for a period of time. James Stefano has got a bad groin or hamstring or something bothering him, which affected him in those two missed kicks. And all of a sudden, you're counting on those two guys along with JT Bale. Two of them are missing, and all of a sudden heading into this ballgame this weekend.
Yeah, that special teams took maybe the biggest hit of any of the position groups on the team. But you know what? That's another thing. They have developed depth on this team. Davis Price can punt. He may not be Alex Kinney, but Davis Price can punt. They have backup kickers. They have guys that can do things. So that's one thing that has changed on this team from even a couple, 3 years ago is they've developed depth in a lot of places. A guy gets hurt. A guy gets dinged. They've got other people that can step in.
You touched on this a little bit earlier. Now, coming off those two emotional games, I think one of the players said we've used a lot of juice in those two games. Colorado State, Nebraska. 2-0, you're coming home. You've got a bye week and then UCLA after this New Hampshire game. I think there would be teams that you and I have been around that I'd be concerned about the approach to this game on Saturday. The way these guys handle themselves, obviously anything can happen, but I like the way they approach, understanding it's an FCS team coming in here. We've got two huge wins. We're not getting drunk on our own wine, as I like to say. I like the way they've kind of approached this week, considering who the opponent is.
They came in ready to take care of business, go to work this week. There was no joking around and laughing and, you know, back slapping, anything like that. They came in ready to go to work, and I think Mike – you know, McIntyre set the tone a little bit at the end of Monday's practice. I think you were standing there with me. You know, he got the team together. He said, guys, we are not going to take our foot off the gas. Yep. We have to keep playing. We have to keep playing hard. You know, we've got two wins, and that's all it is.
Yep.
Two wins in a 12-game regular season, and he was really, really stressful, you know, stressed that a lot. So I think that's a big step for this team, and I honestly believe they're going to come out Saturday against New Hampshire, home opener, and play really well.
Yeah. This is really a big weekend overall from an athletic standpoint with CU. You got the Colorado Cup continuing with the soccer team. You got the Colorado Classic coming up with volleyball. A lot going on this weekend.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's a fun time to be part of the athletic department. Soccer's team is still undefeated. Volleyball team's hit a couple of bumps, but they came back and played well in the last two games of last weekend. So it's just a good all-around time to be part of the athletic department, and all those teams are playing well, and I think they're doing exactly what Rick George says, you know, win championships.
Broad perspective, Pac-12. After 2 weeks, you have any definitive thoughts? Anything struck you in terms of the league and what we expected before the season, where we're at right now 2 weeks in?
Let's see. Well, the first thing that strikes me is I'm kind of glad we don't play Stanford this year. I saw that Stanford team, and that is a David Shaw.
Yeah.
Just get down, grind, get mean, get tough, and you know who the boss is by the time that game is over. I think Stanford is a very, very good football team. As for the Pac-12 South, you know, I think Arizona State's better than we thought they were going to be. It looks like Herm Edwards is doing well. But there's nobody in the Pac-12 South that you look at and say, okay, they're going to win that division. I think Colorado, you know, from the first two games, why not think they can be a contender in there?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The other thing that strikes me is where Arizona is at. We saw Khalil Tate run the ball as effectively as any quarterback. I mean, it looked like the second coming of Darian Hagan out there last year in the second half of that ball game. And they're not running him down there. And no. Suddenly they're sitting at 0-2.
Yeah, and I think he got dinged up a little bit last week. They took him out of the game. So, that's probably the other surprise is the two Arizona schools. Arizona State's playing better than Arizona.
Neil is starting his diesel. He's about ready to take off here from the podcast this week. I like this ball game, though, this weekend. I feel good about where the Buffs are at, and I think we're going to come out of here looking at a 3-0 football team.
Yes, I think so. I think they come out, and they've been taking that very seriously. This is their home opener. They want They haven't played in Folsom Field yet. They want to come out. They want a big crowd. They want to give the fans, you know, a good showing. And I think they're very excited about the opportunity to do that, come out, score some points. Interesting thing about this team, in both of their first two games, the first two possessions, they've driven the ball in and scored on both of their first two possessions. I kind of think they'd like to make that three in a row this week.
I would think so. New Hampshire's made the postseason at FCS 14 years in a row, but they are off to an 0-2 start. Buffaloes, 3 o'clock, the kickoff between the Buffs and the Wildcats on Saturday afternoon. Our coverage on the Colorado Football Network, Gary Barnett and yours truly, gets underway at 1 o'clock. Always check out on Friday afternoons Neil's Fast Five as he looks ahead to the matchup between the Buffs and the Wildcats this weekend. For Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com, I'm voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us this week on the Buffs Insider.